walk by faith and not by sight. Can you imagine being in Habakkuk's shoes? By the way, there's an outline in your bulletin. You'll want to find that. It's not as big as mine. It's on the bulletin page. You'll see it there. But can you imagine that walking by faith means God's discipline of your nation, Judah, destruction coming by the hands of Babylon? That's what he's facing as he writes the book of Habakkuk, as he realizes in the first chapter, in the second chapter, and now the third chapter is a song of praise because he trusts in God. We saw him provoked in spirit at the sin of his own people, Judah, in chapter 1. You remember the question, God, how long will this go unchecked? Do something. And God said, I am doing something. I am sending the Babylonians to conquer Judah. But God, they're more wicked than us, was Habakkuk's response. And God's response, I know who they are. I know their wickedness. They will be judged. And then we saw last week that Habakkuk responded in fear and faith, praising God for his mighty works, but dreading what that meant next for Judah, and praying in wrath, remember mercy. Living by faith doesn't mean expecting health and wealth or even ease and comfort until you go to heaven. God may bless you in that way. We hope for that. We hope for that for our kids, for our families, the ease and comfort part, the health part for sure. We hope for that. And sometimes life goes on and that's what we receive and we're thankful for it. But that is not the promise of Scripture. The promise of Scripture is to walk by faith, whatever life brings, because of a sinful world, because of sinful people in the world, because of Satan and his schemes, because of your own sin and getting yourself into trouble. Well, we're going to see this morning several things about faith. First of all, the path of faith, verse 16. I want you to know that the path of faith is not exempt from difficulty. As I've just said, in this case, in Habakkuk's case, God's discipline of Judah by the Babylonians. And look at what Habakkuk says in verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones. And in my place, I tremble. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound like a description of someone walking by faith, but it is. Look at the next phrase. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. It's not a description of cowardice. It's a real inner struggle of one who loves God, but knows God must judge sin, and has said, yes, God, judge as you will. This is how he feels on the inside about it, but he's going to walk by faith. I want you to know God takes note of such hearts. You might remember Isaiah 66 in verse 2. By the way, the cross references are mentioned in the outline, and you can see them on the screen. Isaiah 66, verse 2, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. So in a gracious way, God is looking to the prophet Habakkuk because that's his heart. Trusting God's work included accepting God's judgment of Judah by Babylon. Habakkuk's heart is responding with faith. God has answered the question, how long, of chapter 1, and Habakkuk must wait quietly now for the day of distress. A survey of Scripture shows that the path of faith is often hard. I want to give you some examples of that. Trusting the Lord's work, the path of faith, meant the early church's acceptance, you might remember this, God's penalty of death for Ananias and Sapphira for their dishonesty. And we always think about that with regard to what it meant for Ananias and Sapphira, but sometimes we forget what this would have been like to be a part of the church and to see this happen. The answer to what it was like is Acts 5:11. Great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. It was a difficult moment. It was a moment similar to what Habakkuk is dealing with here. And their response was great fear of God, that he expects holiness from his church. The path of faith might be full of ill treatment, false accusation, and forgotten promises, like it was for Joseph. You remember, sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, falsely accused by his boss's wife, forgotten in prison, and then used mightily by God. Or listen to Paul describe his path as Christ's chosen apostle to the Gentiles. This is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He is comparing himself to other servants of Christ. He had to keep telling the Corinthians, "I am a chosen apostle," but he speaks about labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. "Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." Paul, speaking of ministry as God's chosen apostle, missionary to the Gentiles. No wonder he said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." No one would want to trade our experience for his. I'm not putting down your difficulties. No, we want to learn to walk by faith. Remember Jesus' path of faith. Just one stop along the way is sufficient, the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22. "He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him," and we're told why in the next verse, "and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." He goes to the cross for the joy set before him, but I wanted you to see that point in his path of trusting the Father in heaven. Living by faith is a path of blessing. But if your understanding of blessing is more than, or is not more than physical, you've misunderstood. Because your understanding of blessing has to be more than the physical, more than the comfortable. Living by faith is a path of blessing if your understanding of blessing is spiritual and eternal. And that brings us to the foundation of faith, verse 17. It is not in circumstances. Verse 17, Habakkuk writes, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord." Notice what he describes in verse 17, a land completely stripped of the blessings of fruitfulness in an agricultural type of land in that part of the world. When God told Moses he was going to deliver Israel from Egypt, he said he would bring them up to a land, from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with, you can complete the sentence, milk and honey. Habakkuk understood the future life as a conquered people to be void of such blessings. And he was right. And significantly, he, as a man of faith, understands that he too will face the difficult circumstances. Faith is not based on circumstances. It is based in God and the understanding that he is holy and righteous and gracious and worthy of trust. And that's why verse 18 says, yet, you've had to say that, yet I will exalt in the Lord. Again, scripture gives us many examples. Think of Job, whom Satan accused of fearing God, accused God. He just trusts you. He just fears you because you've blessed him. You've made his life comfortable and wealthy. Well, God allowed Satan to take it all away, possessions, family, even health. The book of Job teaches us, one of its lessons, teaches us that faith that honors God cannot be a circumstantial faith. Listen to Job's words, chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. Or Job 6, verse 10. But it is still my consolation, and I rejoice in unsparing pain, that I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. Or Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, I hope in him. Or chapter 19, 25 and 26. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Job, it turns out, was again blessed materially on earth. But the foundation of his faith was not God's material blessings. The foundation of his faith was God. Look at verse 18, the beginning of it again. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. The theme of Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, is that people lived and died with eternal hope, not circumstantial hope. Hebrews 11, verse 13. The writer has given examples, and he says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Hebrews 11, verse 16. But as it is, they desire, these same ones, a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The foundation of your faith, foundation of my faith, is not our present circumstances, but our unchanging eternal God and the promise of eternity with him. Now, we all enjoy the blessings of earthly life when we can enjoy them. I'm not taking away from how God can bless there with family, with beauty. Some of you have taken trips this year and seen some wonderful sights of his creation. Creation, even though tarnished by sin, still shows his glory in mighty ways. But our hope, our true lasting faith, the foundation of it is not going to be in those things. that are temporary. Our faith is in what is eternal, our God, and blessing with him one day. Number three, the sincerity of faith, verse 18. Praise and joy are not quenched when life becomes uncomfortable. Think about that. Is that true of you? Praise and joy are not quenched when life becomes uncomfortable. Verse 18, yet I will exalt in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, the ever-existing one, my God, the God of myself, personal. The loss of external blessings did not touch Habakkuk's blessings in the Lord. And so he exalts in the God of his salvation. Now, facing Babylonian takeover, notice he speaks of God's salvation. It wasn't a victory in battle that he's talking about. It must be that the prophet understood salvation in a greater way than earthly safety and even national existence. But he was thinking of the ultimate eternal destiny of the people of faith, an eternity with God the Father. And so he praises. He praises. Now I know when bad things happen, we have to deal with the circumstances. That's a part of living on earth, and so we don't just go into a room and sing, but our hearts should turn to things that aren't affected by the struggles we go through. We should be glad in the midst of dealing with the details. We see that in examples. Peter and the apostles, Acts chapter 4. 23 and 24, we see the sincerity of their faith. When they had been released, they had been taken into custody by the Jews because of their preaching of Jesus. When they had been released, they went on their own. They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they, the congregation, lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. What do they do? As they're going to pray about the circumstance, they are praising God who is above circumstances. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. Acts 5, verse 40 and 41, the same thing. After calling the apostles in, the ones who arrested them, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. Think of Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. Sincere faith, praise and joy are not quenched when life becomes uncomfortable. Number four, the witness of faith, verse 19. It is this: the Lord is with me. Look at it. The Lord God is my strength, the prophet declares. And he has made my feet like hinds' feet. That is, like the animals that God has equipped to walk securely on mountainsides. Because that's what the next phrase indicates. He makes me walk on my high places. It's a quote of Psalm 18, verse 83. And the point is, difficult places become secure places when we are in the Lord's will and depending on the Lord. So I want you to see in verse 19, Habakkuk drew strength not from within himself, but from the Lord. And that's so important at the point of trial. I mean, you know, gathering yourself, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, you might get on for a little while, but it's not the witness God wants you to have. Strength in the Lord is the witness he would want you to have. That's what honors him. The witness of faith today is that Jesus is with us. And as we abide in him, depending on him and in biblically informed prayer, we find strength. John 15, 5. A verse, by the way, that needs to be, you know, one of those that we're just familiar with and go back to over and over. It's one of the first things I shared with Pastor Matt when he came. And I wouldn't say it's my life verse like we talk about that. That might be Ephesians 2:10, but it is a verse I come to and think of almost weekly. Maybe I should make that daily, and you too. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The witness of faith, the Lord is with me. Abiding in Christ is what the believer can do. And from that, receive the strength to be fruitful even through the easier times and the more difficult times in life. Think of David and his courage facing Goliath. It wasn't because of any self-confidence. It was because of his concern for God's honor, but his belief in God's presence. Listen to his testimony. And we're talking about the witness of our faith. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? It's not about David and his ability with a sling. It's about God. 1 Samuel 17, 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And he did. Think of Jesus' confidence after prayer in the garden. We looked at the garden a moment ago and you saw the turmoil of his heart, but the faith in his heart and toward God the Father. And he arises from that time of prayer. And this is what it looks like in Matthew chapter 26. Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him, Judas, gave them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. And immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi, and in the Jewish manner kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you've come for. Do what you've come for. I know what you've come for. Carry on. And they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. I think it's Luke that tells us he healed that ear, Jesus did. But he said to them, put your swords back into place. For all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Listen to what he says. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way? His confidence as he walks to the cross, his trust, his faith in God show through gloriously. One more example, consider Paul's confidence when his request of God is not granted. Sometimes, looking around the room, I know your request for loved ones has not been granted. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. We don't know exactly what that was, but Paul says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Not the answer that he was looking for those three times he prayed, but the answer he received. And he says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. In other words, my faith, walking with whatever this difficulty was, is in the Lord, and that'll be a part of my witness. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. The witness of faith is that God is with me. And it's not necessarily, Habakkuk had a chance to say it, and we may have a chance to say it in the midst of difficulty. And we should, if we have that opportunity, to honor the Lord. But we need to be, it needs to be resonating in our thoughts and in our heart, that the Lord God is my strength. Amen. And then notice the very last words for the choir director on my stringed instruments. So this third chapter was meant to be used, or became used, in worship. It was a prayer song confessing one's faith in the Lord. So as Paul sang in the inner prison, Habakkuk gives witness to his faith through the song of faith as well. And we sang some songs of faith earlier today. I don't know the circumstances under which they were written, but certainly they speak of you and I walking through difficulties in life by faith. Implications. What blessing or blessings are you living for? Earthly? Well, let's be honest. We all desire and enjoy these. Eternal. The presence of the Lord and the congregational praise of Him in heaven and in the new earth. Now, that's where we need to land. Again, for 1 Corinthians 15:19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, for the earthly blessings, we are of all men most to be pitied. You see, to live by faith is to desire to count on, to wait for a better country. So we could say today, and you fill in the blanks, I'm just going to throw out some that came to my mind as I was putting together my notes. Though the coronavirus hasn't gone away, and I have to keep wearing a mask, though schools and businesses are closed, though it's hurt the economy and I can't find my favorite products on the shelf, what is it about Bounty napkins that they've just disappeared from the world? I don't know. But anyway, small thing. Though senseless violence has brought damage to life and property, though leaders cave to political correctness, though the moral future of my country looks bleak, though prayers for children, spouse, or aging parents haven't been answered as we've hoped, though I've been diagnosed with cancer, someone might be saying, though I am faithfully laboring but seeing little fruit, though my family, as is true on the mission field, often disowned me for believing in Jesus, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Let's pray together. Father, may it be true in our lives, whatever the difficulties of the day are, that in the smallest of trial and inconvenience, we would exalt in you. And in the big ones, we would exalt in you. That the witness from our life would be honoring to you. That it would be obvious that we don't live for the here and now. Oh, we appreciate it, and we will do our best to be good stewards of it. But that we live for something better to come when Jesus returns. And we thank you for that hope, that promise. Father, we thank you for the book of Habakkuk, where it has led us to live by faith. I pray that these lessons would be enduring. We would continue to learn them as we walk through other areas of Scripture together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.